Good evening, Nicholas. I'm really glad you loved the song. It is one of my favorites. It's one of those songs that just speaks to your soul. It's beautiful and sad, but hopeful. Anyway, I'm glad you liked it. I have a very eclectic taste in music, honestly. I like lots of different things. There's very few things I don't like, in fact. Classical, oldies, 70s rock. I am a huge David Bowie fan. I was so sad when he died. I mourned him. Oh, man. I went out and bought a pair of red shoes, red tennis shoes, so that I could go out and dance the blues. Anyway, I think the only kind of music I really don't like is, I don't like rap, don't really care for that, and I don't like country music, which, in this part of the country, in the part of the world that I live in, it is everywhere. Everybody loves country music, and it's such an anomaly not to like it. They were playing it at work today, back at the nurse's station, and I just wanted to tell them to turn it off. But I got to, I'm glad you liked that painting. It was one of those interior decorator paintings, you know, that you just buy in the store to decorate space. It was hanging in one of the exam rooms of this orthopedic office I was working in today. I loved the colors and the vibrancy and the movement in it. The picture doesn't do it justice. It's silly, but I say silly a lot, my goodness. But sometimes those speak to me, and of course, the Georgia O'Keeffe painting I sent you. That's my favorite Georgia O'Keeffe painting. It's just beautiful and passion on canvas. I do admire her work. I don't really like her Southwest movement as much. It's kind of not my taste, but I know that she gets, lots of people have a lot of, they just view her as the lady with the vagina flowers, which I have to admit, they kind of do tend to resemble female anatomy. Doesn't take away the fact that they're beautiful. What you said about my voice. See, to me, a southern accent sounds uneducated and hick, you know, very backwards, and I, for the area that I live in, I don't have a very strong accent. I attribute that a lot to poetry and literature, and, you know, doing more than listening to country music. About the sad cowboy and his pickup. Anyway, which is a thing around here, pickups and cowboys and, you know, that kind of thing. But the way you described my voice, that was beautiful. Here, you're talking about the melting butter on a hot scone. When something is hot, we say that it's like melting butter on asphalt. It's liquid before it touches it. Because it does get hot here.
I've never had crumpets.
I have had scones.
But never crumpets. I feel like that's probably something I should try now. You make it sound very delicious and naughty. You were kind of in a naughty mood tonight. I like it.
You were talking about your beard. Oh my goodness, the beards are very sexy.
I think all men should have beards.
I would love... Oh my gosh, if you wrote a book, I'd love to own a collection of your writing. I collect what I can now. I just hoard it, these gems of beautiful.
I think that,
I think that you're right on both points. I think poetry is about hard work and about passion, about emotions. Because not if it was just about emotion, anybody could just pour out their emotions on a page and it would be good poetry. That is not the case.
I think that you have to have a craft to it, and I think
that it's so honed in you, it just pours out. And beautiful.
I loved that poem, Throwaway.
Albeit it was sad. And it might be a bit depressing. It was beautiful.
I felt the raw emotion in it. And
it gave me chills.
I loved it. And of course, I would expect your poems to make grammatical sense. You are a teacher, after all. It would be disappointing if you had not done that.
My best friend's a teacher, and she is, well, we call her the grammar Nazi. Because she will correct. It's funny, she's a teacher, she's a Spanish teacher. And because of that, her English, her grammatical structure is very honed, because she has to be able to know that to be able to teach English children Spanish. Spanish was her first language. She actually grew up in Argentina, because her father worked down there.
She is an American citizen.
She is as white as I am. My eyes are blue. I guess the shade kind of depends on the day and the mood. When I'm happy, they're aquamarine blue, the color of my birthstone, which I always thought was kind of a nice little thing. But how lucky am I to be born in the spring and have the same color eyes as my birthstone? I know. Crazy. Oh, I love the story about your aunt, the midwife. Suddenly scenes of that series were coming through my head. I was like, oh my gosh, I could see exactly what she was doing. And it's fascinating.
It was great.
There are people in that in their lives that come through like that and just make huge impacts. And when they leave us, there are gaping holes. But the impact that they left shapes who we are. I've known people like that in my life. And it's always hard when they leave us.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
I performed it on Midsummer Solstice as well. However, ours was not magical. It was entertaining. But yours, oh my gosh.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there.
Sounds, well, magical. I just can picture the scenes and how that would play out. And I think you would make
I have no doubts that you made a fantastic Puck. He's my favorite character in that whole play. He is mischievous, and I just like him. Don't get me wrong, I like lots of characters in that play, but he's my favorite. I think he's probably my favorite of all of Shakespeare's characters. And he's got a lot of good ones, mind you. Of course, you know that. The teacher, that terrible teacher. What I can say about her is, no, she was not a very good teacher. That's not how you teach people to be teachers. I think that's terrible. But I don't regret what happened. I look on it as just kind of turning me down a different road, a road I should have been on. I think that every turn I took shaped me to be who I am and exactly who I'm supposed to be. I am a believer in fate. I think that things happen for a reason, even if we can't understand it at the time. And I certainly didn't at the time. Looking back now, oh my gosh, yes. As a nurse, I get to be a teacher every day. I teach my patients. You know, I teach them how to take care of themselves. I teach them what's wrong with them. And it's fantastic. And I work with children and other adults in my volunteerism. I do lots of teaching and those things. So I have not turned my back on teaching. I'm just doing it differently. So no regrets there. Oklahoma geography. Well, Oklahoma, we're in the middle of the United States, in the lower half. There's Texas, giant-ass Texas, right there on the Gulf, near Mexico, and right above Texas is Oklahoma. And I grew up in North Texas and Oklahoma. I've got family here, so we kind of went back and forth a lot visiting. My mother still lives in North Texas, and I go to visit her often. And my youngest sister still lives there with her husband and daughter. And one of my sisters lives in Oklahoma City, and the other one lives in Canada. She met a man online when she was 12 years old. Really, he wasn't a man at the time. And they were friends for a long time, and they fell in love. And she moved to Canada, and she married him, and she's been there for 10 years now, and she's as happy as she can be. She cracks me up. It's funny the way you talk about, the way you describe things, like land dripping with history. Oh, that sounds fascinating. I think that that little island of land that you live on completely fascinates me. It always has. Someday, I'm going to go there. And I'm going to spend oodles of time just traveling around and soaking up all the history. And we have our own histories here. It's not as old. And yes, this country is huge. You can travel for days and still not reach the edge. And that is also one of the downsides of it, is if you want to go somewhere in this country, chances are it's going to be a long trip. When we go to see my in-laws, it's a 24-hour drive, and that's without stopping. We usually stop in the middle. It's a long drive to be in the car. They can be fun. car trips. If you're with the right people. I did enjoy that story about the night. Laying down in the field and being covered with butterflies. Who knows if it's true, but it's a lovely story. I think that's one of those beauties in the world. Oh, you can find beauty anywhere if you look hard enough. You just have to be looking. Like finding a single daisy in the middle of a war-torn field. That daisy is beautiful. Strong. It represents the hope that's going to come after. So, that's my thoughts on that. I am glad that your pain is easing. I'm glad that you're looking towards pleasant things. I do plan to check out that book. It sounds interesting. I think that I would enjoy it. My failed dom sub relationship. I did so many things wrong. I think that, for one, he was very young and immature, and I don't think he really knew what he was doing. We didn't take the time to build that trust, that basis. I think it was just, I want to have this relationship, and I want it now, which is, you know, classic for millennials. I am not a millennial. I'm much older than that, thank you. But I think that is a classic sign, and that's why that didn't work out. And it's okay. I wasn't heartbroken over it. I wanted to become guarded. I don't just let my heart out to anybody. That takes time. And trust. The drunken Scott story. Oh my gosh. I think the best part about that was you were laughing so hard you can barely tell the story at some point. It was fabulous. I just picture these two drunk men in kilts dancing around and singing. And I have no doubt that that is exactly where that redhead took you home. She got to see what was under that kilt. That's the point. That's why you go commando. Otherwise, why bother? Although, there is something sexy about men's calves. Not all men have sexy calves, mind you, but it's a weird thing, I guess. But it's sexy. So, my day. Let's see. I woke up and I went to work. I didn't find out where I was working until I got up this morning, because my boss is not always good at knowing where to send me. However, the nice part is I'm going to be settled in one office for several weeks, and it's an area I enjoy. Orthopedics. I worked in the hospital as an orthopedic post-operative nurse for several years. I took care of people in the hospital after they had bone surgeries. Knees, mostly, hips, things like that. I always enjoyed it. There's something quite elemental about bones. This sounds very strange, but I have a collection. They're not real bones. I collect skulls and things like that. And I do have a few bones. Like, I have a keychain that's actually a hip joint. I don't carry it on my keys because it tends to freak people out. It's not for the freak factor. It's bones are our structure, our basic, they hold us up, they move us around. Without our bones, we would just be blobs. Amorphous blobs. You know? And, I don't know, something fascinating about them. Yes, I have a collection of skulls. Mostly sugar skulls, because, you know, bright colors. I have a bunch of those. I have this, piggy bank that I have. This is a skull. It's a pirate skull I bought when I was out in Florida from this little Cuban community. They had a little street fair and vendors sitting everywhere, and they had on this table this skull. It was a pirate skull, and I was like, oh, that's what I need. And so I do. It sits on my headboard. My headboard's kind of like a bookcase. And I have tons of books in it. And then across the top is my trinkets and knickknacks. Because I'm one of those ladies. I have lots of little tchotchkes. You know, silly things that make me smile. It's the little things in life, you know. And then I took the kid, got off work, and then I picked up the kids, and we had to go shopping, because teenage girls grow so quickly, and you have to make sure they have the right undergarments. I feel like I'm buying new bras every few weeks for those two. Oh my gosh. It's an ongoing argument with me and my middle daughter, Haley. Because I try to teach her to be modest. To respect her body. To keep things covered. To not wear clothes that are too tight because they're not becoming. You know, it's hard to just teach her those things, because she just thinks that I'm just some evil bitch that just doesn't understand. I don't know what it's like to be a teenager. God, if she knew. I think it's a normal thing, though. I went through the same thing with my mother, except for I didn't wear clothes that were too tight. I wore clothes that were too big, baggy. My favorite outfit was this big, long skirt that touched the top of my shoes, and it was black, and it had roses all over it, because I loved roses even back then. And I would wear that with this red knit sweater that would hang down nearly to my knees, and a pair of combat boots. And my hair would just be down in my face, you know, very, very stereotypical teenager. Oh, my mom hated that outfit. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. But I was comfortable in it because I was invisible. I was happy being invisible back then. I'm not invisible anymore. I am loud and boisterous, and I like to make friends. I like to be out there in the world. Needless to say, my mother's very happy that I outgrew that stage. In that stage, I did... a lot of internal thinking. I wrote a lot of poetry. Not great poetry, mind you. I was a teenage girl, so it was angsty, and you know, I still have my old books laying around. I don't know where they're at. They're in a trunk somewhere with all my old poetry. I should take them out. Maybe there's a gem in there somewhere. I don't know. It's been a long time. I think that we're all really hard on our own work. I'm sure there are lots of things that you can sign to the bonfire that were probably brilliant and would make a girl like me just fall into a puddle at your feet. But being your own work, you're way too critical of it. So, I applaud this new stand of writing poetry and letting it be. I'd love to hear more of your poetry. I think that's the secret of good poetry, is it? Makes you feel. And your poetry does that. It makes me feel. Oh my goodness, you can hear my TV in the background. It's way too loud. But for me to get up and go in there, that would be a pain in the butt. So I'll do that soon. I have to admit a little truth to you. It took me a while to respond this evening. Because after listening to your audio the first time through, I suddenly got on this fact-finding mission, if that makes sense. I like playing amateur detective because it's kind of fun. And so I did digging and looking and Googling and Facebook researching, and I found some things. Who knows if they're true? I may have stumbled across something that was so far from fact. Well, the facts that I was looking for, anyway. No, I'm not a crazy stalker. It's nothing like that. It's just amazing what the internet will, what you can find. If you put in the right, you just have to put in the right words. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll tell you what I found eventually. Right now, I'm just kind of setting on the information because I feel like I need to look into it more before I decide if that's what I really found. Be honest, it doesn't even matter what I found. Because the only thing that really matters is how much I look forward to getting your messages every afternoon. How much I love hearing your voice. And those stories that make up who you are. How much I love making these recordings for you. And it's nice to sit down and talk about old memories and talk about how you feel about things. Because sometimes you didn't really think I even
never even thought about how you feel about certain things until it comes up. No, I think every... truly meaningful person that comes through your life changes you in a way. Just like that relationship with that girl changed you in a way. He made you learn things about yourself. And through this process with you, I'm learning things about myself. Or remembering things about myself that I had forgotten. Because I think so much in the day-to-day world, we just get so caught up in functioning through the day that sometimes we forget what makes us happy. That passion that drives us, the renewed vigor for poetry and songs that you love that you haven't heard in forever because you hadn't really thought about them, but something in a conversation makes you think of that song. That happened with the song, and I'll play it for you in the future. I don't think it's right for right now. But it did make me think of you. There's so much. So I made this, I downloaded this app today. I forget what it's called now. I found it through things that people had used. Oh, the Imgur. I'd never actually heard of it. But I'd wanted to send you that painting I saw today. And so I was trying to figure out how to send a picture through Reddit. And I saw that lots of people use that. And so I went to it and it told me to download the app, and so I downloaded the app, and I uploaded this picture and a bunch of other pictures of just, some are random silly things, and some of them are things that I love, and, you know, things like that, so that I had this bank of things to send you. I didn't realize that with that, people will comment on them if I don't set them to private. And because I didn't think about sending them to private, I didn't think that people would just randomly comment on things that I posted. And people did. And some of them I just wanted to smack them. I'm just like, I don't understand. What's wrong with you people? Some things are funny. Some things are just disgusting. And I posted that picture of the Georgia O'Keeffe painting. And some idiot asked me if that was a bleeding vagina. You know, I guess everybody's open to their own interpretation of things. I get that. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions. But is it required to have your own opinion? Do you have to be gross? Do you have to say disgusting things for the shock of it? I don't understand. There's too much of that in this world, I think. The same thing on Facebook. I'm very careful about what I post on Facebook because I know invariably, if I post something controversial in the least bit, then there will be all kinds of backlash and hate. And I don't like that.
you know, I don't get on other people's page and post, comment hateful things on things I don't agree with. I just say, oh, well, I'm not fond of that idea, so I'm just going to keep going. That seems like a fair assessment in life, but apparently enough people don't understand that concept. And they have to think, turn beautiful things ugly, and I don't like that. I feel sorry for those kind of people. It seems that if you have to turn something ugly, then your life must be so miserable that you want to make everything else around you miserable. And there's people going through truly ugly things, like yourself. And you're not out doing that. Instead, you're out putting out beautiful things that make the world just a bit brighter every time. I appreciate that about you. It's another one of the million reasons why I became a fan of the great Moon Dance. Yes, I am a bit fangirl obsessive about your postings. I listen to most of them now, I think. Except for the Christmas Carol ones. I haven't listened to that yet. I'm not sure what I'm in for in that aspect. Perhaps I should give them a listen. But I'm too busy listening to the beautiful things that you privately send me. Over and over and over again, I listen to them. I love that you find my voice relaxing. I love that it soothes you. Because your voice does the same thing for me. It's relaxing and soothing, and it just makes me smile. I can't help it. You know those smiles where you can't stop smiling even if you wanted to? That's the kind of smile you put on my face. So, my dear Nicholas, I'm quite certain that you must be asleep by now. In fact, I think that you must be waking up soon, because it is almost midnight here, and I think that you're about 5 or 6 hours ahead of me. I believe. So, that being the case, you have a beautiful day. Take time to soak in the beautiful things and the warm sun and when you pass a flower, a beautiful rose, think of me. Because I certainly know I'll be thinking about you.